Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltema, and our guest this week, Stephen Skivington. So, Stephen, you spend a large amount of time in your book talking about the need for a hybrid healthcare system. Now, what might that mean in the way of change? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, you know, people think we have a one-tier publicly funded healthcare system. In fact, the five principles of the Canada Health Act say it has to be publicly administered, not publicly funded, which is a very big difference. Also, I laugh when people say two things to me. One is, I only want a hybrid system so that the rich will have a second-tier healthcare that they can access by paying to jump the queue. Well, the rich already have a second tier, a private tier. It's called America. They just get on a plane and go to America. They don't need this. The people that need this are us, the boomers, the zoomers, the middle class, the people who don't want to wait around years, months, years for hips, eyes, whatever it might be. You know, the people who are really active and aren't willing to accept these kind of waiting lists. So I talk about, in my big fix section of my book, a number of suggestions of how we might bring this about. We have kind of a hybrid healthcare system, which is a parallel private-public system. It would basically, like every other country in the world except Canada, allow for a private system to operate as well. But in many cases in Canada, it's not above board. It's kind of like a hidden thing going on. And, you know, two tiers actually would be a huge improvement because people won't know this. There's currently 10 to 15 tiers in Ontario. In addition to the workers' compensation tier, the RCMP tier. I mean, here's a shocking one. I bet you most people don't know that prisoners in Canadian jails have better access to health care than the rest of us. There actually is a tier that gets prisoners care quicker than we do and pays for drugs and all kinds of things. So when you say tier, T-I-E-R,
right.
It's group or a level of health care. So if you're thinking about the public tier in which we're all equal, and healthcare is rationed basically by wait lists, as opposed to in America where it's rationed by your credit card and the size of your wallet. In Canada, there are different levels. So the RCMP, there is a healthcare system that they're able to access that we can't. Prisoners in jail, WSIB, the workers' compensation. Obviously, government wants to get them back to work even quicker, so they get to go and get their tests, their MRI, their CAT scan quicker than the rest of us would wait in order to get them back to work quicker. You will always find people who will say, well, my experience has been very different from what you're describing. But I liken it to, for the most part, if you have a serious life-threatening problem, like you've been in a car crash or in my case with the heart, it's like being at the Indy 500 and you pull into the pits and this incredible team works on you and they're just like working on the car. It's fabulous. But if your problem isn't life-threatening, it's very much like when you have a huge snowstorm in a city like Toronto, and the main roads get plowed, but the back streets, if you have the misfortune of living on a back street, you're not going to see a plow for 3 or 4 days. And that's the problem with our healthcare system, is that we shouldn't have to have these kind of waits. You should be able to get in much, much quicker.
Okay, well, so what might all this mean in the way of change, though? What are you suggesting? What is your solution?
Well, first of all, you know, a lot of people are politicians especially, are worried about touching the so-called third rail. The third rail is basically embracing a parallel system, the hybrid solution. You know, bringing private healthcare, making private healthcare part of the system, like it is in every other country. But I say, just as when you're running a train, when you're running a subway train, you have to touch the third rail. Touching the third rail is actually a good thing in order for the train to operate at peak efficiency. I say that for our healthcare system to operate at peak efficiency, you must also have the courage to touch the third rail. There are lots of polling out there that shows that 75% of Canadians are actually on side with this and would like the option of being able to have choice and spend their own money instead of being forced to wait like this.
Okay, so what would they be able to, what are you saying they would be able to spend their money on, though? I mean, many people do not, of course, have extra insurance, but many people have private insurance. Is that a third rail? I mean, that will cover all kinds of things that you would otherwise have to pay for.
Yeah, I mean, let me just share you some of the I would like, for example, to revise the Canada Health Act so that quality becomes the sixth principle. You know, there is really no, of the five principles, there's no allowance for quality in our system. It's all about just moving people. So, for example, if I dropped dead, that would have been as good for the system as if I was successfully treated, because there would have been one less person waiting in line. I'm suggesting that we open the door to medical tourism, that instead of healthcare simply being a cost center, we turn it into a revenue generator. One of the things people don't know, and this is what creates wait lists, is surgeons are only able to operate one day a week in the hospitals, not because there's a lack of surgeons, but because there's a lack of money to pay for keeping the lights on, hiring the nurses, the administrators, being able to have people in there 4 or 5 days a week for a surgery. If we allowed for medical tourism, we'd be able to do that and have some of that money go back into our public system. I talk about bringing back co-payments, user fees, and introducing tax-free medical savings accounts so that people could put money away. You know, it's ludicrous to me that you can spend money on a big screen TV or a vacation, but you're not allowed to save money and spend money on your health care. If you want to get your hip quicker, if you want to, you know, whatever it might be, you make your health decision, you have the choice. But number one solution that I'm really big on is stop lying to us. If the politicians would stop lying and we could actually have this adult conversation, that's why the book came out this time in about 8 or 9 months before the federal election in October. I want to make healthcare the number one issue in this in the run-up to this year's Canadian federal election, so that we finally have that adult conversation and talk about this stuff instead of running away as if it's kryptonite and we can't touch it.
Okay. Perhaps you'd like to read us some more then from This May Hurt a Bit.
Okay, so this is, in fact, the beginning of part four of the book, The Big Fix, in which I just sort of set the table for what exactly is wrong and start to touch upon some of these ideas that I just shared with you. So what's wrong with our healthcare system? The problem, to my way of thinking, is threefold. First, when those in charge first started pondering how they might change the way healthcare was delivered back in the late 50s and early 1960s, much of what they came up with was ideologically driven. Or to put it another way, borrowing modern medical lingo, it wasn't evidence-based. As is often the case when politics rears its ugly head, the process for creating good public policy can be hijacked by those with their own agenda, people who will stop at nothing to get their way. One of their tricks, straight out of the old spin doctor handbook, I'm afraid, is to substitute emotion for logic. In other words, they try to get decision makers to think with their hearts instead of their heads. This is what I believe happened when today's healthcare system was being conceived. To make matters worse, no one involved in the original exercise, be it politicians, civil servants, or those leading the charge introduction of a publicly funded healthcare system, seemed to be looking far enough ahead into the future. The second problem, and it's a big one, is that our healthcare system isn't really a system at all. As I pointed out earlier, it's an insurance scheme, and a badly run one at that. I mean, stop and think about it for a moment. How can we call it a healthcare system when so many things aren't covered, like eyes, for instance, or teeth? And don't get me started on the bean counters with their infuriating and frequently incoherent and inconsistent rules regarding what Medicare covers and what it doesn't. Furthermore, what kind of system would allow patients, including some of our sickest and most vulnerable citizens, often seniors, to clog up the hallways of hospital emergency departments, all because our long-term care facilities are unable to accommodate them? Bed blockers, hospital administrators call them. Human beings, I call them. The third problem with our healthcare system is a little harder to explain, but pretty much comes down to the fact that the Canada Health Act features five main principles: public administration, comprehensiveness, universality, portability, and accessibility. Notice what's missing? Quality. Nowhere do we measure, offer, or even seem to care about making sure that quality is part of our healthcare system here in Canada. Unlike the Ford Motor Company, whose famous commercial from the 1980s, "At Ford, quality is job one," touted the importance of caring about the quality of one's work, those responsible for Medicare decided long ago that quality, at least when it comes to health care, is a frill, something we can all live without. Except, of course, we can't. Because if quality doesn't matter, then neither do outcomes, which means that whether we survive an encounter with our healthcare system or not is irrelevant. A life lost is the same as a life saved, at least as far as the civil service is concerned, simply because the line gets shorter. This is why when we're talking about properly diagnosing illnesses, ensuring patients receive treatment in a timely manner, and ultimately saving lives, one can't help feeling that when it comes to Medicare in Canada, quality is job none.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Many thanks for coming in and telling us about This May Hurt a Bit, Reinventing Canada's Healthcare System. I'm sure many people will be interested in your views. Where can our listeners buy your books?
Well, in town here, Let's Talk Books has lots of them that I've gone down and signed. The Coles in the Mall, the Northumberland Mall has copies. I believe every Indigo in Canada, Indigo Chapters, has at least three copies. I've been going around and signing a bunch of them as well. So, and of course, you can get it online very easily. It's a trade paperback edition, the e-book, the Kindle version. There is no audio book, but that should keep people busy for a while.
Good. Okay. So to connect with Gwyn and me, please send comments on the program, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these shows are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week here on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio.